Hey guys, we're day one update, back with another long form or newscast. My name is Kokomo Hans. I'm joined by my two friends here.
Hi, I'm Air.
There you go.
Hi, I'm Golzar.
There you go. That was a little bit delayed, but we got there.
I thought, said your last name, so I don't know if we wanted to keep
fine.
That in there.
That's fine.
I thought you were going to say, hey, we're day one update, back with another day one update.
Back with
I was going to say restart.
You should have just said back with another update.
Can we just continue?
All this is number one, three?
Yeah, number three. This is our third episode.
Our third long form.
And yeah, we're going to, as usual, start with games. I remember they made fun of me last time for saying that we're going to start with games.
Did we? We make fun of you for so many things. I just can't keep track.
Hey, focus.
I'm sorry.
Boom, boom, boom. Everybody say Leo.
Please, there you go. Please no inside joke that will get us copyright struck. Please.
All right. So what's our first news story today?
Well, since it's been a while, we can go back all the way to... Have you heard about the Switch? The Switch rumors, hardware re-releases,
the new versions, right?
Yeah, the
new redesigns or whatever.
Yeah,
I have heard. I heard a bit of it, but this was expected, man. Nintendo always does this. Nintendo 3DS and DS.
Yeah, like, there have been a few.
Not the rumors, but release 2019 release.
Was that revealed? 2019 release?
No, nothing is confirmed at all.
Okay.
In fact, Nintendo did themselves says, no, we're not re-releasing the Switch. What are you talking about? Please keep buying the Switch. Why would we re-release the Switch?
Why would they say that? Yeah.
Buy the Switch.
Yeah.
But basically, the rumors are pretty much stating that there are going to be two new SKUs. One is going to be a light model, so it's a portable only, no removable Joy-Cons. It's going to be cheaper, like worse screen or whatever.
Okay, worse screen.
Portable only, made for kids or made for people who just don't want to spend a lot of money.
Light model. That could also mean RAM and processing power and so on and so forth, right?
It's going to be like probably the 2DS equivalent of what the 3DS release.
No, but is it in parallel with the current Switch, or is it going to be lighter than the current Switch?
No, they cannot afford to do a worse performance, because even the weaker re-releases of the 3DS, they were still capable of maintaining the processing power of the regular. Because why would you want to play a game on a weaker version of a console that's already kind of weak?
Mm-hmm.
But also, why would they want to differentiate even more SKUs for developers when, if we look at the second SKU that's rumored, a Pro model, one that's like the Xbox One X and the PS4 Pro, which is going to have...
Oh, it's going to be a full like hardware improvement?
Yeah, that's one. So there's one SKU is rumored to be portable only weaker, or sorry, portable only light model. One is going to be enhanced, upgraded power... You know,
so this is like the new 3DS.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
That worries me.
Yeah.
Like, are they aiming for next gen Pro? Or are they just aiming for slightly better than what they currently have?
Because I remember when the new 3DS came out, they did also release the Xenoblade remake or the Xenoblade for the first Xenoblade, but it was only available for the new 3DS. It wasn't available for the original 3DS.
So what they said was there were going to be some games that are only going to come out for the new 3DS that would not be playable on the old 3DS. There was only Xenoblade and I think one other game that was Japan only. But based on how certain games ran on both consoles, they should have done more, because Hyrule Warriors, when that came out for the 3DS, you could play it on the old 3DS, but it ran like a slideshow, like a PowerPoint slideshow. It should have been a new 3DS exclusive. However, PlayStation and Xbox were adamant about, we're releasing our older brother, but you won't be forgotten. We promise to keep remembering you older gen owners. So they're not going to be any exclusive games.
Well, they're not older gen. They're current gen, but older models.
Older model owners, yes.
When the Switch also originally came out, they also said it's not going to be the successor to the 3DS.
Mm-hmm.
And it definitely is.
Yeah. It's very much...
It's like Nintendo always does this. Even when I think when the DS came out, they said it's not going to be the successor to the Game Boy Advance. But they always say that.
They realize that pillar is not there anymore. Right?
They say that because like, they want you to keep buying the Game Boy Advance. The anticipation for a new Game Boy Advance to come out, so people wouldn't.
We're
freak
not going
to
get a new Game Boy Advance.
Definitely.
Pokemon has gone over to Switch.
But basically, they just don't want to cannibalize their own. Their current sales, whatever they can squeeze out of customers right now, they're going to keep trying to push that until they're like, "Yeah, we're ready to release a new one." I have a question. I have two questions actually. We all own Switches. Would you trade in or sell your current Switch for
a Pro?
Yeah.
I'm a dumbass. So probably. There was no comment.
Silence. Well, okay. So, what if it was only a slight upgrade, like how the PS4 Pro is?
I would have to see.
Not like an Xbox One X upgrade, which is pretty substantial from the Xbox One. but like a smaller minor.
Well, if it was a better
trade-in bonus,
if it was a better screen, I probably will, because I mostly play my Switch portable. I barely play on actually as a console.
Yeah, same.
And I want a better screen for portable mode.
Okay, so I actually kind of led into my other thing. So my situation was, I don't even care that much about hardware. Like I don't have a 4K TV or anything, but I prefer better frame rate. I just want a better screen with less bezels.
Yeah.
However, what if this enhanced mode was TV only, not undockable? Like it was a straight up just console.
I wouldn't
Do you think Nintendo would even do that?
Can't. The purpose of the Switch is to go portable. There's no way they're just going to lock you to the couch again.
Sorry?
Sell a more powerful dock.
They could do that because there is technology for that. Razer has an external GPU that you connect to the laptop.
Yeah.
They could literally just add an extra processing power into the dock that you just connect.
And the current Nintendo Switch dock, it makes games 1080p giving it a little bit more.
Imagine
power
how expensive that would be, though.
Oh, dude, the current dock is like 110 Canadian or something like that.
Wait, it's 110?
110 Canadian, yeah. Just
the plastic dock.
Just the plastic dock.
I thought it was like 50.
No.
I don't know.
Nintendo, you got to fix your pricing.
Oh, yeah. But that also suggests that if they are coming out with a Lite only model that you don't have removable Joy-Cons, it will at least be $100 cheaper, right?
Yeah.
Which is pretty good.
The non-removable Joy-Cons, the Lite version, will that be able to be docked?
No, portable only.
Why not? They're going to use USB-C to charge it.
Yeah, but
I guess they'll lock
it. What if you just plug it into the dock?
I guess they'll lock it.
It won't come with the dock.
I'm just saying, if you have a dock.
We'll see.
Or you can buy it separately.
Based on how the Switch is with its USB-C compatibility and its like third-party docks and how Nintendo is at fault, I don't know how they'll handle it. I guess we'll just wait and see, but it is interesting to see.
Since it is also a lighter version, I expect it'll run like trash on TV anyway.
Yeah.
Right?
How do you guys feel about two SKUs?
I don't mind. They do that with the 3DS, and I've been a dumbass up until since then as well.
Yeah, but like you always buy the Pro, right?
Yeah.
So... I don't want it to just come out with the Pro? Why do the non-removable joysticks?
It makes sense.
There's rumors it's losing the 3D motion vibration thing as well.
Right, that's true. That even in the Pro model, they're theoretically removing the HD rumble, which I think is a shame because I really like the feel of the vibration in the Pro controller and the Joy-Cons, but devs aren't using it.
What? I don't really mind. Okay, the Pro Rumble, whatever. What is it called?
HD Rumble.
Okay, I didn't really notice that. I'll be honest. But like,
you can feel the ice cubes in your hands.
What? Okay.
That was a demo. It's like, Oh, we add one ice cube, two ice cubes. Remember when they were like showing off the HD Rumble for like 15 minutes?
Why would they use ice cubes as a thing?
I don't know, but it was good from what I remember. I haven't played the Switch in a while.
But the fact that they're releasing a lighter screen, it makes sense because the 2DS sold like freaking hotcakes when it came out, right? Kids are buying that left, right, and center all the time.
Yeah.
Honestly, even at the end of the life of the 3DS.
Had I not bought the new 3DS like as soon as it came out, I would have bought a 2DS because I don't use 3DS.
Yeah, but that thing was like a book.
Yeah, it was a flat.
Yeah, you console, couldn't right? fold that.
They came out with 2DSs that you could fold.
Yeah, there was a 2DS one that you could fold too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There was one. That was a bit more sleeker, too. But I like the new 3DS. The new 3DS, I loved it. I have like three
screen,
different 3DS.
Less bezels.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the same size as
probably
the
better
Switch.
On battery life, too, actually.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be better on battery life.
Maybe like a Samsung or LG OLED screen or something.
No. They won't shell out for the cheaper model.
Did Nintendo fix their saves? Did Nintendo fix their saving? Can you take out your saves from the Switch?
Pay, yes. If you pay for online.
Okay.
No, cloud saves only.
Okay. How are you going to transfer your saves to that other game?
Yeah.
It's not saved on the card anymore.
It's cloud saves only, unfortunately. Okay. But maybe once they release that and people are like, well, I want to trade in my old Switch for the new Switch, they're going to be forced to say, okay, fine, we'll let you download it to a USB stick or something, hopefully.
Mm.
But
I wonder, this is Nintendo, so. I wonder how much of that trade-in was done by GameStop, EB Games, whatever else they're called nowadays.
GameStop.
The EX or whatever.
Oh, yeah, EBX.
Yeah, EBX. I wonder how much of, for the PlayStation Pro, I wonder how much of that was done by them and how much of that was allowed by Sony.
Well, at the end of the day,
we know Nintendo's practices, right? So they come out with the new Switches. We have Switches. Mm-hmm. We want to trade them in, get a little bonus out of it to make the new Pro cheaper, right? You think Nintendo's going to allow that?
Here's the thing. At the end of the day, it's GameStop's decision. Like, for a while, GameStop had been in the position of holding console manufacturers by the balls instead of the other way around. However, I would not be surprised if that there is some sort of subsidies. Like, hey, so we're willing to subsidize a little bit to give to you, GameStop, if you try to push people to get the Pro.
Because from what I remember for the PlayStation Pro, it was EB Games doing their promotion as well for like trade-in. But Sony was also saying, hey, trade in the Pro, to get a Pro, and you'll get it cheaper.
Were they advertising on behalf of EB Games?
No.
For Sony himself?
From what I remember.
No, I don't think it was Sony. I think it was Microsoft. I do remember Microsoft themselves saying, hey, the Xbox One X is coming out. Trade it into a Microsoft store.
Yes, that, possibly.
I think it was Microsoft. But Sony themselves, where would you trade it into Sony, right? They don't even have their own repair house. They contract a repair house.
Yeah, wherever you buy consoles.
Yeah. Like an EB Games.
EB Games. Can't remember. Was Best Buy doing the same thing?
No, Best Buy doesn't do
trade-ins. Best Buy doesn't do trade-ins.
In America, I think they do, but not here in Canada. All right.
So, back to the SKUs. The Pro version, because that's the version I'm interested in, right? How Pro is this version?
We don't know.
We got Stadia, who's taunting. We have the same power of Xbox One X and PlayStation 4 Pro combined, right? We have new gen consoles coming around the corner, right? Is the Pro even going to be Pro at that point? Is it just going to be the Nintendo Switch again?
I mean, here's the thing. The Switch has been kicking ass, even though it's weaker than PS4 and Xbox One.
Then why release a Pro?
Because money. Because Nintendo sees that market, and it's like, hey, people are willing to pay a little bit extra for better.
You're saying the only reason they're releasing these systems now is because they've started to see a decline in their
hardware
sales.
No. And
they want to get back up to...
I don't think that, but I do think that if that were the case, it's a pretty good strategy.
Then why not? They'll just be cannibalizing their current Switch market.
Yeah, because they don't care because they'll stop making current Switch. Mm-hmm. They'll just make more money off of the other formats.
Nintendo's always done this. They really have so many different models of all their systems.
Because if they find that...
It's like near the end of the life to do it as well.
Yeah. If releasing these two SKUs would somehow make them less money, then they wouldn't do it. But if they
when
found...
When did the Switch come out? How old is it now?
2016? I want to say like April... Like spring 2016 or something like that, right?
Hold up. I got this. Come on, Google. Okay. Release date was 2017.
Okay. So it's 2019 only.
Yeah. So
PS4 Pro was... Or sorry, PS4 was only 2 years old before they released PS4 Pro.
Yeah, but that was due to the fact that people were getting 4K TVs and stuff.
I mean...
Right, still. So they needed to be competitive in the market. The Switch is already competitive in the market. Why, 2 years in, why throw out two new SKUs for the Switch?
They could make more money. What's wrong with... Yeah, they could make a lot of money now.
Possibly.
But they could make more money
possibly
doing this, right? I don't... At the end of the day, it means there's more choice for the consumer. I'm fine with that. If somebody wants to save money and get the portable-only model, they can do that. If somebody wants to spend a little money and get the big one, they'll do that. I'm just wondering if...
Okay, we know Gerks is dumb, but would you trade it in if it was only marginally better? How much better does it need to be?
So I did say all I really want is a bigger screen with like less bezels because I do play portable mode a lot.
Yep.
That being said, if it is $100 more... And all they have is better screen and better battery life.
Same price tempted. As the current Switch.
Oh.
Better screen.
Oh,
that's it.
Same price. And of course, yeah, I'll trade it in. Because like the question is, how much more money are you going to be willing to pay for the better Switch? If it's the same price, then there's no question. I'll get it.
Yeah, but it's the same price for a better screen, but you're buying that console over again.
Yeah,
it's only been 2 years.
It's not like I'm going to keep the old Switch. I'm going to sell it on Kijiji or Craigslist or like maybe if EB Games has a really good trading program. Right?
Yeah, that's the thing we have to see.
No, nobody's going to keep their old Switch unless they need multiple Switches in the house for like family members and stuff like that.
Actually, multiple Switches won't be bad. And here we got Gurks. He's like, I'll buy three Switches and I'll keep them all.
I had like three different 3DSs.
Yeah, he did actually, yes.
Yeah, but you're crazy.
Thanks. You know what else is crazy? Borderlands. Oh.
Yeah, you know what? That is a pretty good... Yeah, Borderlands is... it's been leaked, and then it's been teased, and then it's been revealed, and now we're getting some actual substantial news in the past week or so. And...
So yeah, we got a new trailer.
Yes. Yeah. Well, first of all, we got the announcement.
Yes.
Like, it is officially revealed.
Anybody excited?
Tentatively. I do want to see more. I'm mostly only excited because I know people who like the game and I have people to play it with.
I like the game.
But like the two of us played Borderlands 2. We loved Borderlands 2.
Yep.
And I loved it enough to be like, hey, let's get the expansion. Let's get the expansion. You're like, nah.
Nah.
Yeah. Once I beat the game, I was like, okay, good. Peace out.
But I did like Borderlands 2 a lot. Tales of the Borderlands, I think, is fantastic, which is funny because it's not only the best Borderlands game and best Telltale game, but it's like not really a proper Borderlands game. But if the writing is going to be more like that and Borderlands 1, which one of the leaks suggested, then I'm going to be like definite buy.
So from what I heard, Borderlands is coming out to all systems and it's crossplay or something, right? There was a crossplay... So, news that came out with it.
It's Epic exclusive on PC for 6 months, which has some people up in arms. I don't think it's crossplay, but I think Randy Pitchford said he's open to the idea of crossplay.
That'd be sick because I want to get an Xbox and I go play with you guys.
Yeah.
What about Sony?
Yeah.
Sony. Okay, if there is crossplay, it's not going to be PS4. It's not going to extend PS4 for sure. Crossplay only really matters PC, Xbox, and Switch.
That's, do we know when this game is coming out?
September this year.
So nice. I'm playing by myself again.
Well, get it on the PS4. You own one.
For those that don't know,
regular PS4.
For those that don't know, Gulzar, who's the game made by?
Gearbox.
And do we like Gearbox?
I mean, we like talking about them because it's funny.
They made Battleborn, right? You guys remember Battleborn?
Battleborn. Oh man, we talked. Didn't we upload that episode of where we just talked about Battleborn?
I don't remember.
Oh man, I wish we did, but. The only real evil thing that they've done is I think Colonial Marines, Aliens Colonial
Marines. Oh yeah, that was bad. That was a
big tire fire debacle. Other than that, it's just Randy Pitchford is just dumb, immature. But
so what controversy do we see coming out with Borderlands 3?
Well, it already has a little bit of a PC controversy with the Epic Games Store stuff.
Yeah, that's kind of...
How do you guys feel about that? Bummer. I'm not much of a PC gamer.
All my friends at work, they're mostly PC gamers, and they all said they're not going to get an Epic Games Store. They're just going to wait 6 months.
There are a lot of issues with Epic Games Store, not just because, it's not Steam or whatever, because people play on Uplay, people play on Origins and stuff like that.
Okay, so tell me if this is right. Pre-orders went up for the game.
Yep.
And then people pre-ordered. And then afterwards... They came out and said
no.
6 months.
No, not. I don't think that's the case for Borderlands. This happened for other games, but
yes, maybe I'm getting confused.
This happened for like games like Metro, where they just took off the Steam page.
Yeah,
like they deleted the Steam page, and everybody who pre-ordered just like, all right, well, what the hell? But for Borderlands, I don't even think it went up on the Steam page. I still don't think it's up there.
Is it coming to consoles?
Yeah, it's coming.
Yeah, it's coming
the same consoles. Time as coming to Epic Games Store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's why console players are just chilling, but PC players are pissed.
Valve does need competition, and the news of the Epic Games Store, like, I was excited, even though I'm not a PC game player. But the Epic Games Store has had a lot of issues. Like, they still have regional issues, regional pricing, which is really scummy. So us in North America, we're kind of safe from it. Like, we don't get charged over. But people in Brazil, like, we get charged per dollar. Like, our conversion rates are complete, like, are direct. But people in Brazil, for example, they normally pay, let's say, I don't know, $90. But if you want to buy through the Epic Games Store, they have to pay an extra 25%. Why? Well, Epic only takes a cut of like 18% from devs, opposed to 30% Valve takes. How are they going to make that money back? Well, we're just going to fleece the customers in regions that don't have as big of a media presence. We're passing the cost on to the consumers. It's really scummy. And they have some... They had some security concerns, like, it digs through your computer to look for Steam information without your permission. So if you install the Epic Games Store, it'll go through your computer, look at your Steam information, look at your Steam friends list to import your Steam contacts and stuff like that without their permission. That being said, Valve themselves don't have the they're not a shining example of security either. They've had a lot of issues. I do think that just review bombing and stuff like that is pretty dumb, but I do understand why people are not happy with the Epic Games Store in general. And
so what else do we know about Borderlands 3?
I know a lot of stuff from the leaks that came right before the reveal. I don't want to go into that without... I only want to try talking about the official information, but we do know of the four playable characters.
Yep, we got new classes.
Yeah, new classes. So there's going to be the stealth character, which is an old man who's possibly like Batman. Like old man uses a bunch of gadgets. So
Batman Beyond.
Yeah, the siren is... No, old man. So Dark Knight Returns.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
So there's the siren, who is now a melee character. So you know Brick from the old ones, or the guy who had two guns? That's also the siren character now. And she essentially has floating Asura's Wrath arms that she does.
That sounds pretty
JoJo
cool.
Punches with.
JoJo punches.
I don't know how else to explain it. It's the Aura punches. There's a...
yada, yada.
There's a hobo robot that summons monsters, like V from Devil May Cry. Like, he summons monsters to do his fighting for him. And then there's the turret.
He doesn't summon robots. He summons monsters.
He summons beasts, like slag beasts and stuff like that. And then there's a character who instead of summoning a turret, she summons, like, a mecha robot. Sorry, a mecha bear that other characters can ride.
That sounds interesting.
That sounds dope.
That's so jealous. He summons a bear, everyone else rides. He's like, okay, I'll just wait here, guys.
Yeah. Are you interested in this game, Grix?
Yeah, I played Borderlands 2. I played a bit of Borderlands 1. I'm interested in it. I just need someone to play with. Yeah.
Oh, and also...
no, we're also, not playing with him.
More importantly, multiple planets. It's not just the one planet.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's cool.
They do have multiple
planets. How are they going to tackle that approach? Like a Mass Effect approach? Or
maybe. We
just
do know,
a linear storyline, just go to the planet.
We do know in the special edition that there's... you know how some places... Or sorry, some games give a map of the game or whatever. It's a map of the galaxy. So there are at least going to be two or three planets... Mm. In that galaxy that you get a map of. Just two last things I really have to say about it. One, the co-op for it is going to be really cool. Because remember, Air, when you and I were playing, we used to fight over the loot. Like, the loot drops, like, I want that gun. No, I need that gun. But I gave you the armor.
We worked it out eventually.
Yeah, we worked it out. And there was a trade system and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it was generally fun, right? Like,
we worked it out through force. I'd mostly take it and then run away.
Yeah, not really.
Because I was stronger.
No, I was way stronger, man. Dude, my turrets that, like, doled out slag... ailments.
But remember, I went away and I played the game for a bit and I got so strong.
Did you?
And I gave it, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, the thing is, that's not everybody gets their own loot now in co-op.
Yay.
Nobody. However, so, if you do want the old system, you can select it in toggles.
Perfect.
But, so does that mean like everyone gets different loot, or it's just a mirror?
I don't know if it's, it might be different, but basically you don't fight for loot.
Okay.
And also, if let's say I'm playing the game with my group of friends and we're near the end game and you guys just start and I want to play with you, I can use that same high level character and join yours, and my level will scale down. Similarly, if you guys join my campaign, even though you're not that far in the campaign, your characters will scale up in level. So it's no longer like, oh, I have one character for that group of friends, one character for that group of friends, and oh, I can't join you on this mission because I didn't complete the story enough for this character. It's all just going to be clean cut, super simplified, scaled.
Okay. There's another gameplay reveal that's going to happen next month, right, for the game?
I have no idea.
I believe so. That's what I'm reading here. Borderlands 3's big gameplay reveal event takes place next month.
So yeah, we'll probably see. Well, the game's coming out relatively soon, right?
May 1st. Okay.
Yeah, May 1st.
May 1st or 31st?
It says May 1st.
Okay. So quite a ways away from E3 as well. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I do have one last question before we can move on. Before we got any gameplay details, like officially released gameplay details, we had all the details about all the special editions and all the collector's editions and all the season passes and all the ways you can give Gearbox money. But we got that information before we got any gameplay details. How do you feel about that?
It leaked, right?
No. I don't think the special edition stuff leaked. Like, some of it leaked the day before, but we do have the official collector's edition pre-orders up before we got the gameplay reveal last week. We got the official gameplay. Like, how do you feel about that?
In business, it makes sense, because then it's a game that it's the third iteration of the game, a very popular game.
Fans are going to buy it. Honestly, I wasn't.
I think Borderlands 3 was.
I knew that eventually it would make one.
Yeah.
I just didn't think it would.
Remember, it got quote unquote leaked left for last year E3.
No, I do. Oh,
like actually, along with like Rage 2, like Walmart, the Walmart Canada leak, right? that was the only one that Walmart Canada leaked that didn't show up. So we knew it was happening, and they didn't really hide it when Gearbox was interviewed. They didn't really hide the fact that Borderlands 3 was being worked on. So it was just a matter of time.
Interesting. Speaking of Walmart leaks, we got Best Buy leaks.
Oh, I was like, what? Did Walmart leak again? but yes, we did get we got three Switch listings that are all kind of interesting. First, Metroid Prime Trilogy, which has been rumored and I think leaked by like Amazon Italy or something months ago. That's still not announced. Metroid Prime Trilogy. That's something people have been clamoring for and Nintendo has been mum on.
We'll get a direct for that soon.
Hopefully. Yeah. I've never actually played the Metroid Prime games ever. So I'm really looking forward to that. Next, Link to the Past for the Switch. Not Link's Awakening, which is what we saw.
Mm-hmm.
Link to the Past for the Switch, like a full title, not like.
So they're basically trying to make every Zelda game again.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And which could be interesting because Link to the Past is a lot of people's favorite 2D Zelda game. It's always Link mixed between Link to the Past Awakening and the new one, Link Between Worlds, that I find a lot of people love. That could be really.
I wonder if it's easier for them and more like financially beneficial for them to go back and remake these old games. Rather than have these old games on their eShop.
Yeah. You know what? I would rather have it on the eShop. Yeah, you raise a good point. But it is interesting that they are re-releasing all these 2D Zelda games for the Switch, but all the 3D Zelda games were released.
Do you think it's going to have the similar art style that we saw for Link's Awakening?
I hope not. I know some people like it, but I find it's a bit too cutesy. It's trying too hard to be, hey, look, we're so cute and stuff like that.
So
it's,
chibi.
Yeah, well, it's not even that. Like, I don't mind the clay aesthetic of it or the Play-Doh aesthetic of it so much. The faces, I think, is what irks me the most about Link's Awakening. Mm.
Too round?
Yeah, no, it's isn't that it's like, the eyes.
Isn't I think. That like Wind Waker? Wind Waker had a very rounder.
Well, no, it's not the...
Wind Waker's art style was really good.
Wind Waker's I loved. People hated it at first because it wasn't the edgy, mature, grown-up Zelda that they were promised or wanted, but eh.
Wind Waker was awesome.
But time sorted them out. They realized they were dumb.
And we have another listing as well.
Oh, yes, thank you. So, the one I was most excited for.
Persona 5.
Persona 5 for $59.99 USD. So, like, full... Hey, this game that's on PS4 for 2 years and it's $25, buy it full price on the Switch.
Okay.
It's coming to the Switch. Since why not?
If... Full price, is it going to have any of the additional content with it?
It's funny you say that. So there's a huge mess going on. Right before a day before the Best Buy leak came out, there was a website that was uploaded by Atlas called P5S. And in the source code, like they hid something in the source code saying, we are the new Phantom Thieves and we will destroy what the old Phantom Thieves have done, whatever, whatever. So it's like, okay. Sequel? Like, because the source code of it was meant to be found. Like, they wrote it out as if, hey, we're the new Phantom Thieves who uploaded this website.
Yeah, that's obvious, yeah.
But the thing is, what about, this is P5S. What about P5R? Because we know P5R is a PlayStation thing, because every time we've seen P5R, it ended with a PlayStation 4 logo.
Mm-hmm.
And all we know about P5R is there's a female character who's brand new, and she doesn't like the Phantom Thieves, because she said, and she's a first year of that school, of Shujin Academy. So people are wondering, okay, what's the re-release with a little additional content? What is a sequel? What is, like, a port? We don't know. And Atlas is doing this stupid thing where it's like, hey, we have this game coming out. Tune in for the announcement. Oh, the announcement was just an announcement for an announcement? Okay, tune in for that announcement. Oh, it's just an announcement for an announcement for an announcement. They've done this like 3-4 times.
They're just teasing the shit out of us.
Like April 24th or 25th, when they have the live concert, is when we're going to get more proper information. But.
So basically the same Persona game for the same price.
Or you know what? Possibly a sequel. Well, for the Switch, it's like, likely the
Persona
same.
Persona 5. Yeah.
While I like the fact that they're making more Personas, that's cool. Persona was a great seller, Persona was a great game. I want them to go to their other games as well, like Devil Survivor. Last time we had a good sequel to Devil Survivor was during the DS.
Yeah,
I loved Devil Survivor. Even Shin Megami Tensei 4. Shin Megami Tensei 4 was a great game.
5 is still coming out. They did reveal 5. Was it during... They teased 5 during the launch of the Switch.
Or what I'm saying, though, is like, we have all these different Persona teasers and the leaks or trailers or whatever coming out for the new games, but... We haven't had any news about any other series coming out at all.
You want to know why? Because unlike the other series, Persona makes money.
Yeah, exactly. I know. But like,
it is a
basically
shame.
Anything Atlus puts out makes money.
Except like for, they also, except Atlus, for Shin Megami Tensei. Their claim to fame.
Atlus also has this other teaser RPG game that I mentioned last time as well, that the Project RPG whatever.
Oh yeah, I forgot about
that. There hasn't been any news on that since the original leak that came out, or yeah. original website was made.
Completely forgot about that.
They're just focusing so much on Persona. It's kind of worries me. Well,
Persona's
not
hot right now.
I know. I get that. Yeah, I get that. But it seems like they just dropped those.
I'm of the opposite opinion, because Persona 5 was the first one where it's like, okay, they're here as a mainstream thing. Because I would argue that Persona 4 was not mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might have sold well, but it sold well for an RPG. Whereas Persona 5 sold well, full stop.
Globally.
Yeah. And it was like, it really was the Persona 4 to what mm-hmm. Persona 4 was to Persona 3, what Persona 3 was for Persona 2.
What the sequel was to the prequel. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Because they completely, like when they saw how much more that version sold, then they milked the crap out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Then they saw how much the sequel sold, and they milked the crap out of that.
So we know that Persona is playable on the Switch.
Yes.
Right?
So we now don't
Persona
know...
S.
Yeah. So Persona 5S is what I'm assuming is the Persona 5 Switch. Then there's Persona 5 R, Persona 5 Royale. We do know the name. It's called mm-hmm. Persona 5 Royale. We know that's a PlayStation thing.
Is that an exclusive?
We don't know. All we know is Persona 5 R is for PlayStation, and Persona 5 S is something that exists. That's all we know.
But we don't know if it's a Switch version of Persona
so
5.
So what I'm anticipating is, all right, P5S is just a port of the old game. No additional content. Persona mm-hmm. 5 Royale is going to be a additional content, like how like Persona 4 Golden, or
yeah,
maybe,
we're just going to say.
Yeah, or maybe it's going to not be that. It's going to have like a sequel episode, like how Persona 3 had The Answer. And then the Switch owners are going to be like, well, we only have the base game. And then Alice is going to be like, oh, well, you can pay $60 USD next year for the re-release content.
Man, Alice, please just make another Call of Survivor. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah. Who knows? Like, I do hope for more variety, but I am excited to play Persona on the go.
I am excited. Yeah. I'm definitely excited to play Persona again. Yeah, of mm-hmm. course. I love Persona, but I want some more Atlus games.
Yeah, and Persona, man, the art style for that. It was so good.
Yeah.
Right? And speaking of art styles we like, FromSoft.
Yeah.
That was a bad segue.
I was like art style for.
Yeah,
FromSoft.
I don't know. I couldn't think of anything.
You mean gameplay mechanics?
That probably would have been better.
As soon as you looked at art style, I looked at my at the doc, and I'm like, Persona. All right, so who knows about this?
I don't know.
So for those of you who don't know, George R.R. Martin, the person who wrote Game of Thrones.
Yes,
might not have heard of it.
Yeah, you might not have heard of it. You might not have heard of the last season airing in April.
Yeah.
And he is working on a project with FromSoft.
Yeah.
We know in what capacity?
No, he's rumored to be the lead writer.
That would make sense. So, yes, because he's
author. Yeah, given it's George R. R. Martin, it's probably going to be like he's going to be the guy who builds the world as opposed to Miyazaki this time around. He's mm-hmm. going to be the guy who... Yeah.
Games are notorious for killing the player. And George R.R. Martin is notorious for killing everybody. So, many people are dying in this game?
I'm excited. Well, another From Software game is always good. And with George R.R. Martin, it adds that, like, the fact it's going to have a good story. It's probably going to have a more in your face story compared to the previous From Software games.
Because
Dark Souls never had an in your face story.
A Bloodborne 2, which. George R.R. Martin.
Nah, doubt it. Because Bloodborne, one of the biggest selling points for Bloodborne, it's also its esoteric way of storytelling, mm-hmm. like similar to Dark Souls, where Sekiro is more in your face. But as the only person who's read Game of Thrones on this table, how do you feel about like George R.R. Martin as a writer?
I like it. Game of Thrones, obviously, when it came out, and still is regarded as one of the best fantasy series ever made. And but the thing is, he hasn't released the latest book in a long time. And his recent project that was on Netflix, I forgot what it was called. It was in space. Interspace, something like that?
Wait.
Came out recently on Netflix. It was a new show.
Like George R. R. Martin did a space.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, his name's all over it.
Anything,
that show wasn't that great.
Anything to not write the next book, huh?
How is Sekiro's story?
Sekiro has a good story. Sekiro has a pretty good story.
Okay, but now can you see those two worlds colliding, like matching George R. R. Martin and like a game for, like Sekiro?
Like setting wise or just gameplay?
Yeah. I do believe we know a little bit about the setting. It's going to be Western, like Western kingdoms and stuff like that. And it's going to be more open world.
So Western as in Europe?
Or? Yeah, like different kingdoms. And you can go to the kingdoms of each realm out of order. It's going to be open world. And if you kill the king of that kingdom, then you gain their powers like Mega Man and then go to the next kingdom or whatever. That's what it's
rumors, right? Yeah.
Mm. Which, if that's not true, that would be really disappointing.
But like, if he's building the world, that's pretty cool because Game of Thrones does have a really well-built and really big world that they did a really good job with world building and giving like the whole feeling that you're in another world. While the space one didn't really have a really big setting because it was literally in a spaceship in space, so it didn't have that. So I think this plays to George R. Martin's strengths of being world building if it's going to be a massive open world game. So I assume the world's actually going to be really well made.
Imagine a From Software movie, like a Sekiro movie or a Demon Souls.
Would it just be
movie,
the main character dying over and over again and respawning?
I mean,
yeah, actually, yeah. Would be a terrible movie.
A big part of why people like the story for Dark Souls and Bloodborne is the way it's told.
Yeah. It's hidden.
Yeah, it's hidden and it's out of the way.
What if George R. R. Martin did a movie using From Software? Like games.
But like I don't know. I think people wouldn't like Dark Souls becoming a movie because it's going to ruin that storytelling that they like so much.
Yeah. The reason I bring that up.
Don't tell me.
It's because.
No.
Dragon Quest.
Oh.
How did you link these two? Yeah, that makes no sense.
It's making a movie.
Well,
I had to force that segue.
That was very forced.
You want to talk about that now, or we do have one more game story before we move on to the movie/game story?
Damn, that was a perfect segue.
Well, that wasn't. That was a terrible segue.
How perfect of a segue can it be when you skip stories?
Hey, I forced in that topic of him making a movie, okay, just to get to here. All right. What's the topic that we're missing?
All right. So, as we know, Anthem is not great.
Oh. How about an Anthem movie, guys?
An Anthem documentary on its development process would be interesting.
That would be a hell of a thing to watch. So, Jason Schreier, who works at Kotaku, a little while ago put out an article where he spoke to employees at BioWare talking about, all right, what went wrong with Anthem? And it was pretty damning, and I think BioWare's response to the article was pretty damning as well. Have you guys gone through the article?
I read a bit of it. I read most of it. And it's a pretty big article, so I do suggest you guys to read it as well because it points out a lot of things that kind of brings light to the whole troublesome process of bringing Anthem to life.
Mm. And no matter what you think about Kotaku and Jason Schreier and stuff, it's worth a read
It's worth the read, definitely.
So basically, I want to...
Let's go over some of the big points.
Okay, so you know that joke about how EA leaves their studios to die? So, and EA is constantly saying, no, we give studios whatever they want, and then BioWare or whatever studios are like, no, we get to do whatever we want. So it turns out that's true to an extent. And a lot of the issues with Andromeda and Anthem is because of BioWare's direct upper management, who've completely sabotaged the game and caused BioWare itself to be like a hostile work environment, as some of the sources would say.
Remember this was also kind of brought up when Andromeda was out, when Andromeda had the huge negative release. Andromeda also had a pretty much release about their development process, and it stated how BioWare kind of screwed them with Anthem being developed in parallel and stuff
so
like that.
So Anthem was a game that was kind of in development for about 6 years as Beyond, but they couldn't get the rights to the name Beyond, or like it took too much time, so they're just like, whatever, screw it, just call it Anthem. Mm-hmm. The issue started when the game was in kind of development for 6 years, but like it's ramped up and did proper production for like 2 years or so, right before the E3 showcase. BioWare executives were like, all right, we're going to release this game end of 2018. And EA is like, are you sure? And BioWare is like, yes, 100%. And EA is like, all right, if you say this to the public, the longest we can delay this game if you need it is the fiscal end of this year, so March 2019, that you can't get a single delay after that. And BioWare is like, we got this. And everybody working underneath the management of BioWare is going, what the hell are you doing? Mm-hmm. This game, we didn't even start. So already off the bat, it was really stressful for a lot of people. But it got to the point where it's they wanted to use Frostbite because they didn't want to use Unreal because of they wanted to keep use in-house engine, make like save a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But not a lot of people knew how to use Frostbite, or Frostbite had a lot of development issues. So there was a department in DICE that's like, all right, call us when you need help with Frostbite. And every single time they'd call in, they'd be like, yeah, and we'd help you, but we're busy helping the guys at FIFA. Because they're the moneymaker, right?
Mm. Yeah, FIFA's a huge game for EA.
Yeah, so like if you are EA, then obviously you prioritize the game that has that brings us the most money. But this is Anthem of all places. And then the few people on staff for BioWare who did know how to work up with Frostbite, they were taken off of BioWare and put onto FIFA. Which, again, is...
kind of screwed Anthem.
Oh, yeah. And anybody who was left behind was kind of in dire straits.
But this was an EA move.
That was EA moves. But...
right? But they're crippling their own studio by pulling people off to work on FIFA again.
However, it seems like BioWare was the one who was insistent to not use Unreal and use Frostbite instead of EA. And
due to cost-saving measures, but that kind of bit them.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It got to the point where Anthem is a loot shooter, but you know how when you do look at competitions, like, all right, what are they doing? What are we going to do different? Whenever a BioWare employee would even mention a game like Destiny, executives would berate them or dismiss them. It's like, what the hell are you doing? We're not doing Destiny. We're better than that. Hey, let's look at Diablo 3 for inspiration, a completely different genre. And then when the game comes out, like, you know, the entire system is broken. Mm-hmm. The balance for the loots are broken, as if it's like... this is your first loot shooter game, look at other successful loot shooter games for...
like, I remember browsing websites and people would be like, even the latest update would be like, okay, they made the loot system worse. Like, it's not even getting better. It's weird.
Like, imagine if Konami's like, hey, we're going to come out with a fighter. It's like, all right, should we look at, like, Street Fighter? No, how dare you? But let's look at, like, Bayonetta for inspiration for this fighting game.
It's weird because Destiny is doing pretty well, like, considering the genre it's in is one of the first that did that sort of genre or for consoles, and that brought it popularity. And it makes no sense that they wouldn't look at it, because
Destiny 1, Destiny 2, mm-hmm. it has a pedigree, right?
Yeah.
So you would look at something in the market that's already doing so well, and you want to match that, but you want to exceed expectations so you can take over that market as well. For them to be like, no, we're not going to look at Destiny, you're just shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah, and if it's a loot shooter, you have to put a lot of emphasis on how that loot and weapons, how they are designed and how they look. Mm-hmm. You could tell that Anthem was very lazy in their design of the weapons and their design of just the mechanics. And Destiny, they put so much work into the design of their loot. That's what makes it appealing to play the game and get that loot, right?
And like Frostbite was not meant for a third party, like behind-the-shoulder third party. Mm-hmm. But they were said, do it anyways. We don't care. Did you know that they actually wanted to remove flying from the game?
That's the best part of the game.
But here's the thing. They were like, all right, we don't know how to do flying. We don't know why it was added in this CG trailer that we showed off in E3. We have no idea what we're doing. This is like the main point of stress. Can we please remove it? And BioWare was like, no, but we showed all the people. All the people are excited for the flying because the employees were like, well, because you made us show it.
You have to give credit where it's due, though. The flying was really well done.
And it's the only thing that's well done.
Yeah.
So is that really, like...
and it looks great. And it sounds great.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, like, looking great and sounding great is just... okay, you have...
I'm just pointing out the positives.
You have a really pretty pile of poop, you know?
a great sounding one.
Oh, yeah. A very great, like, great soundtrack to this pile of poop.
How does that even work? It's like singing you a song.
Just think about it.
Play Anthem and then you'll find out. But yeah, unfortunately, it got to the point where they coined a term within BioWare called stress casualty. So it's like, what happened to Greg? Greg's not here. Oh, he's another stress casualty. Because people were being sent home for months at a time. Like, doctors were like, you are not allowed to go back to work for like 3 months. Because of stress, because of this work culture is so goddamn toxic. And not a lot of people came back.
So
some people came back, some people did not. And
we got a Dragon Age preview or whatever it was, didn't we, recently?
Right? I vaguely remember. Yeah. It was like a red sword or something like that.
How is that game going to turn out?
Honestly.
With Andromeda not doing so well, Anthem not doing so well. Now, beloved Dragon, not Dragon Quest, Dragon Age, is that like, yeah, it's not going to do well.
I feel like now that this report is out there, there's going to be more of a ability for them to work on Unreal 4 or whatever engine they want to use instead of being forced to use an engine they don't. Because from this article, I get the impression that a lot of the issues Anthem has is because they were forced to use this engine that they don't know much about. And unlike Square Enix, which gave like...
engine aside, when you tell your development staff not to look at the biggest competitive game out there, that's like...
Honestly, but here's the thing. Like, a lot of employees spoke to Kotaku anonymously about this. And it's like, yeah, we hope it'll change. Like, when the story's out there, it'll change. Unfortunately, BioWare put out a statement saying, we don't think that these kind of articles are helpful. We don't think this article should have existed. And it says essentially dismissing it as, like, a troll or whatever. And immediately after, BioWare sent out a memo to its employees saying, don't talk to the press.
BioWare is just shooting itself in the foot.
I feel like all the complaints everybody's had about EA, people are starting to realize EA might not be the problem. It is actually BioWare. Because there were like some people saying the company that worked on Dead Space, they were the ones who were gung-ho about microtransactions, not EA.
Because BioWare and EA have collectively been getting bad press for the past few years, right? And it seems like BioWare has been lucky up until now that they've been hiding behind EA's already pretty bad reputation. And just letting them take the shots.
But Apex Legends is a fantastic game, and it's priced like it's a free game. The microtransactions in it are completely fair. The progression is completely fair, and that's an EA game.
Yeah, I get it. I understand that. I'm just saying, like, BioWare just got lucky that EA ended up just taking the brunt of it, and BioWare didn't say anything.
And I do think a lot of people are like, no, it can't. BioWare made Mass Effect.
BioWare made
Dragon Age. Yeah, those can't people aren't there anymore.
Yeah, but not a lot of people realize that. They'll still
one of them
still
who Casey Hudson, right? The right here, according to the Kotaku article, it says Casey Hudson, who had directed the beloved Mass Effect trilogy, was supposed to be the creative director of Anthem.
Oh yeah, and he left.
Yeah,
a lot of people just left. A lot of people, even people who are responsible for some of the bad decisions, they ended up just leaving during development. It does seem unfortunate, but if BioWare does die, I would not be surprised. And honestly, if this report is true.
You think EA would step in and do some restructuring?
I think so. I think EA, like for BioWare especially, EA will try to intervene and be more hands-on than they allegedly are before they would shutter BioWare completely. But I would not be surprised if like Anthem was the death knell for BioWare.
Dragon Age might be. They've already got two nails, two strikes. If Dragon Age comes out and it's terrible, let's say...
Dragon Age will be the final nail because that's pretty much the Mass Effect series and Dragon Age are both biggest two series that are going to get shitted on.
Yeah, right? And Anthem was a new IP.
No, I never really played Dragon Age. It wasn't my thing, but...
Dragon Age Inquisition. That was good.
Yeah. That was a good one.
Okay. Speaking of dragons... See, that's a segue.
That's a segue.
How about you guys do this from now on?
Alright.
There's a Dragon Quest V movie, apparently.
Yeah, it's CG... teaser came out in Japan yesterday, and it looks exactly like How to Train Your Dragon.
The worst looking How to Train Your Dragon.
You like How to Train Your Dragon,
I
right?
love yeah. How to Train Your Dragon.
It looked exactly the same as How to Train Your Dragon for me, but with character designs from Toriyama.
Yeah.
But why? Because like it's not a recent Dragon Age, or sorry, Dragon Quest, and Dragon Quest 3 is the one I would assume Japan would make first, because... Dragon Quest III is the biggest one, and 7 and 8 and the recent ones. But, like, why 5? Do you know?
I have no idea. I'm just saying. I saw the trailer. I get what you mean, that it looks like How to Train a Dragon by tone and just, like, some scenes. Heart-wise and overall, like, design and aesthetics.
Heart-wise.
It is inferior.
You know, you don't feel the soul that you feel in How to Train Your Dragon.
I want to punch you right after this. I'm recording.
Gert just reached across the table and slapped across the face.
Just unplugged my mic and strangled me with it.
But is there anything else revealed about it? Like when it's coming out, or like
yeah, do we have anything other than
any
the
notable, anything notable about it?
I can look it up, but honestly, I don't think so.
Do we have a director? Really, do we have a release date? Do we even know who's making it?
Let's see.
Japan?
Yeah.
Japan's making it.
Okay, I'm just going to pull up a link, see if anything's mentioned in it. August 2nd release in Japan. Well, that's pretty soon.
Is it a live action?
CG.
CG. Okay.
Written by a bunch of names I don't recognize. Oh, Yuji Horii.
Yuji Horii is attached as a supervisor.
Okay. So that's cool.
For those of you who don't know Yuji Horii, who is Yuji Horii?
Dragon Quest creator. The creator of the thing. The
creative dude for Dragon Quest.
He's like the Sakaguchi, but for Dragon Quest.
The creative dude. Creative. That's his title.
Creative.
All right. We can move on to some other movie news that we have here.
Yes. Marvel's Endgame is coming out this month, guys.
Yeah.
Yes,
it is. All
stay movies. Tuned for our review.
Yeah, the pre-sale for the tickets have come out in the I think 2 days ago, 3 days ago.
Yeah.
And man,
every site went down.
AMC.
By the way, we pre-recorded this and then posted on the Monday.
Yes. Oh yeah. It's the 3rd of April. Or sorry.
It's the 4th.
The 4th of April.
April right now.
Yeah. But yeah, and because of that, people are predicting that this is going to surpass $1 billion faster than Infinity War.
Easy. Did you not see tickets going like on eBay, like scalpers?
Yeah, it's like insane. Cause like I think 30 minutes after the tickets went up, Cineplex's site was slow as shit, right? And then it crashed completely.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went back up, and still it took like 30 minutes to click a button and wait for a response.
Yeah,
like,
Cineplex is our movie theater.
They're the monopoly of movie theaters. They're the monopoly of movie theaters in Canada.
I can't wait. I plan on seeing it.
I'm always excited.
What do you mean you plan on?
I plan on seeing it multiple times in theaters.
I haven't heard anyone say I'm on the fence of watching.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. I didn't finish my sentence. I plan on seeing it multiple times in theaters.
Multiple times. Yes, exactly. It's going to be a massive movie. It's going to break records all over the place.
Apparently, it's also going to be Stan Lee's last cameo.
Yes.
They filmed a bunch of cameos for in case he ended up passing, but they made the decision that, you know what, we'll end it on Endgame. How do you feel about that?
Do you think they're going to have, like, because it has been...
They kept it going.
It has been shown that Stan Lee is a character in the Marvel universe or whatever, right?
He's technically a different character every single time he showed up.
Yeah, but they kind of connected it saying that he was the informer, the watcher, right?
That was just like
Are they gonna give him like? No. Are they gonna give him like a passing scene where he like his story ends or something like that?
No, they're not going to. But for Captain Marvel, they kind of dwelled on him and they had like a music cue when they had his cameo, and I thought, okay, that would have been a good final cameo.
But Endgame makes sense to make his final cameo.
I kind of wanted his last cameo to be in Far From Home, because Spider-Man is his baby. He created Fantastic Four, he created X-Men, he created all these characters, but he always thought of Spider-Man as his son.
It might be his final cameo, but there's definitely going to be some Easter egg for Stan Lee, probably in Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably going to be some Easter egg.
A poster,
his picture somewhere, sure. Something.
Somebody might shout out Excelsior.
Has to be something.
That'd be nice. I think... Enter the Spider-Verse was probably my favorite Stan Lee cameo, though.
Yeah, he was in the movie a few times, actually.
Was he?
He had the one scene.
Nope, he didn't.
But he had pictures.
But remember when... I forgot his name. Why do I want to call him Marcus?
Miles.
Right? My God, did he watch the movie?
I did. I don't know why I wanted to call him... Anyways, Miles. There's a scene where Miles is in the middle of an intersection. And people are walking around him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was it Miles or was it Peter?
Miles.
From a different universe. Anyways, whoever it was in the middle of the intersection and people were walking around him and one person walked over him. That person was Stan Lee.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Mm. You know what I just realized? It might be his last MCU cameo, but I hope to God that he doesn't have a cameo in like Dark Phoenix and... New Mutants, because
he hasn't been in any of those Foxes.
Yeah, he has. He's had cameos in the Fox movies, didn't he?
I don't remember.
I don't think so.
Huh.
I don't remember him being in X-Men 1, 2, 4, 7, 12.
Because the boss of the Bob Iger, I think, he's like, we bought Fox. Dark Phoenix is still coming out, and New Mutants, we haven't done reshoots for it, but it'll still come out in theaters.
Because that's still a Fox movie.
Yeah, but I'm surprised they didn't just cancel New Mutants.
I don't think they could have.
The film was filmed 2 years ago, so they haven't done reshoots yet. So everybody doing reshoots they're going to be 2 to 3 years older, and because everybody's like teens and young adults, they're going to be notably older.
CGI.
Oh, Yeah, I guess they got that Disney, that Marvel Disney CGI budget now.
Well, they're not doing it.
The aging tech.
They wouldn't be doing it. It would still be Fox. Because from what I know, Phoenix is still Fox. These X-Men movies that are coming out are still under Fox's brand. Any movie that comes out after would be under Disney and Marvel.
Stan Lee also does have cameos in Deadpool 2 and Logan. So he's going to have a cameo in Dark Phoenix and possibly New Mutants. So
yeah, those two I can understand.
So I guess he's not going out on the bang of Endgame. He's going out on the whimper of Dark Phoenix.
Well, Dark Phoenix hasn't come out yet. We don't know.
Yeah, but it's coming out after Endgame.
Okay, we don't... Just look at the trailer. Oh, it looks bad. We know, yeah.
So footage has come out on like a con recently. Like people have watched 17 minutes of the movie and they're like, it looks terrible. Mm-hmm. It looks awful. Yeah, that's unfortunate. Are we gonna watch it for a review?
Yes.
Probably. I watch every movie in theaters.
We watched Immortal Engines, and we enjoyed that terrible movie very well, which you could hear about it in about 2 weeks from now.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about it at the end of this.
But, we also have another Marvel movie, right? Eternals.
Oh, right. So basically, there have been rumors that the Eternals will have the first openly gay superhero.
So for those of you who don't know, what is Eternals?
Space stuff. It's essentially going to be the new Guardians. So it's going to be like space gods and stuff.
That was a great explanation.
Hey, man, yes. That's actually it. It's just going to be space gods mucking around in cosmic space.
Louis said it's space stuff and gods.
Hey, so it's essentially they're trying to bank on another Guardians of the Galaxy, where a bunch of super obscure space characters are going to be in a movie of their own. And it's been rumored that there's going to be a gay character. And in an interview, Joe Russo was like, yeah, there's 100% going to be a gay superhero soon. Just wait.
But, is he gay in the comics, or is he just doing that?
Well, we don't know what character it's going to be.
Okay.
But
are there gay superheroes in the comics that we know of?
Yeah, plenty. North Star, Iceman.
Not much of a comic book reader, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah, no, there are enough. I don't know about any space characters, though. But
interesting.
What do you think China's going to do?
Because
if the main character is gay, they're gonna be censoring a lot because they just cut out any.
Well, it depends on how blatant they make this. Like, it could just be like a one liner being like, "My boyfriend," and then leave it at that, right? Like,
but do you assume because they did like straight wash certain gay characters, like Valkyrie was supposed to be like there was supposed to be a scene where Valkyrie in Ragnarok had a woman leave her room in the morning. But they cut that out. There was supposed to be there is another gay character that was in the MCU, but they removed any reference of it because in China, right?
It's a big market.
Yeah. So do you think they will purposely play it down for Western audiences to make it easier to censor in China?
Possibly. I don't see the point of it being a front and center thing anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, even Captain Marvel, they weren't being like, hey, female superhero, blah, blah. It's the media took that.
Yeah. And ran with it. There were a couple of scenes where it was like that.
Yeah, there's
like a couple of lines.
There's empowerment and like subtleties and stuff shown in it. I'm pretty sure they're going to do the same thing with him being gay.
And then they're just going to cut all of those references out or censor them or something. Because the Freddie Mercury biopic, they cut out like a good portion of the film, like any references or any allusions to him being gay. And like, Freddie Mercury being gay is kind of like one of the biggest things people remember about him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, well, also on comic book movies, we have DC's Joker trailer that dropped.
Joker, new movie coming out based on Joker with Joaquin Phoenix.
Not related to the DCEU.
Yeah, DCEU is dead.
I am excited for it based on the fact that Joaquin Phoenix is playing Joker. Because
did you guys like Joaquin Phoenix? Watch the trailer
multiple times?
What are you guys' thoughts on it?
I watched the trailer multiple times. So.
Okay, Girks,
I didn't see it.
What? Okay, no, well,
brought to you by Stereo.
Okay, I kind of want. Okay, mute his mic. Let him watch it, and then we will talk about the Joker.
What's the difference? Why would I mute his mic? You could just listen to us talk about it.
He doesn't deserve. Okay.
He's not wearing headphones.
I can still hear you guys talking, though.
I said mute his microphone.
So?
So the audio won't.
Whatever. Just talk okay. about it. It doesn't matter. It's a freaking trailer. Jesus
Christ. Movie looks really good.
Yes. I do like the Joker. Mm-hmm. His version of the Joker. There are certain parts of the trailer which I'm a little skeptical about. Because we know the Joker being a bit more maniacal, crazy.
Maniacal.
Right? And we don't really, from the trailer, we don't really see much of it. We see him going crazy, but we don't see him being...
It'll be how he breaks, essentially. Yeah. This movie is going to be how he breaks. And he was a normal person, and he gets it all taken away from him, and this is him being slowly
chipped away at. And he is super skinny.
It's almost creepy looking.
The way he... Well, like, you must not have ate ever.
Do you know that little kid who, like, he shoved his fingers in to make a smile?
Yep.
Do you know the thing about that?
Nope.
That's Bruce Wayne.
Interesting.
That's why it was, like, through a gate. Like,
I didn't even realize that. Thanks for the spoiler.
Well, he was casted as Bruce Wayne. It was revealed as Bruce Wayne.
Interesting. Oh. Wouldn't that make the Joker really, really old then?
Yeah.
In that universe of the movie?
Yeah, in that take of the universe that it's... But whatever, it's not a Batman-verse thing. Batman-verse.
We do see in the trailers that he does gain followers. There are a bunch of people attacking police wearing Joker masks. And so his birth, from how he became the Joker, his rise...
How he lost his wife, how he lost...
How much of this is canon?
None of it. Any references to Joker's past has been played around with, retconned, whatever. So Killing Joke, I think this takes a lot of inspiration from Killing Joke, most of all, where he did, in that comic book, him and Batman were fighting. He was like, what are you talking about? This was my life. This is how perfect my life was. This is how it was taken away. I was a failing stand-up comic, but my wife loved me. Then she lost the baby she was pregnant with. Then she was killed by the mob. And then I went crazy. Or then I became the Red Hood. Then I fought you because I just wanted to provide for my wife. And then I fell in a vat of chemicals and became the Joker. And then
there's no vat of chemicals from what we've seen in this one.
But the thing ends was like, all right, so is that his past? Is that the official canon story of the Joker's past? And then Joker's like, no, not really. I mean, if I wanted my life to have a choice, it would be multiple choice. So it's very clear cut that he was lying about his past, possibly, or that he's just crazy and just saying.
So this whatever. This movie could be a story being told by a Joker.
Yeah, or it could be just one potential background of the Joker. But honestly, if it's popular enough, I would not be surprised if the comics just said, yeah, no, that's canon now.
Do we know when this movie's coming out?
Gerkmon, do you have the fact checking for...
Check. Do we have a release date for the movie? Because for those of you who haven't seen it,
2019 in Russia, apparently.
Oh, let's go fly right to Russia for that premiere then.
I don't know why it says it. October 4th, 2019.
Okay, yeah. October 4th. So, yep, we'll be reviewing that movie as well. Like every movie. So, speaking of, you know what? I'm not doing segue. So, one of you guys. Speaking of
people going crazy. Yes. I saw Us.
Boom. That's how you do it.
Actually, I totally forgot about that one.
Yeah. That was the easiest one, and you let it go there.
No, I was trying to move on to the next topic.
Oh.
I don't know why.
I'm just going to go over it quickly. So I saw Us last weekend.
What'd you think?
What is Us?
Us is the next movie by... It's the second movie by Jordan Peele directed. Same guy who made Get Out.
I wanted to say, what is Us? We are Day One Update.
Shut up.
We are Day One of
it. Anyways, continue, Gerkman.
Yeah, so this is the second movie, and it was highly anticipated because Get Out was a massive success, right? And Get Out, I thought, was amazing. Get Out, the storytelling, the acting, and just the whole foreshadowing and directing of it was superb.
Get Out was amazing.
Yeah. And Us.
I didn't think it was a horror movie.
It wasn't a horror. It was listed as a horror, but it was more on the line of thriller horror.
Yeah.
And the same thing for this movie. It was more of the line of thriller.
Like a sociopolitical commentary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Us, I thought it was... Okay, I liked Get Out better, I'm not going to lie. And Us did have a few things that was kind of weird, because there's some parts in the story that didn't line up in my head. Like, I might have to look it up, because there's a lot of stuff that Jordan Peele usually just hides in his movies behind the scenes that maybe I just missed. But at first watch, there was a few things that didn't line up for me. But man, the acting and the directing and just the whole tone of the movie was just amazing. Like, they made you feel creepy, then they made you feel like there's some scenes that were silly and they made you laugh as well, but then it goes straight back into creepy. Like, it's that flow was perfect. And the acting, the main girl, Lupita Nyong'o, yeah, the same girl who was in Black Panther and 12 Years a Slave, she was awesome. Like, her acting, where she played both the normal girl and the insane smiley one. I'm not going to give too much away.
Can you give me...
So, basically, all characters have doppelgangers that creepy looking. Yeah.
All the actors were really good, especially in the main family. So, Winston Duke, M'Baku.
M'Baku.
Yeah. Yeah, he was really good, too. The funny thing is, like, he was, like, the funny part of this movie, right? His character. Because he was just so silly, like, when he encountered these scenes. But, like, the acting was just so good in it. So, it's basically a family that goes on a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know what cuts the line of spoiler, but I'm just going to be very simple with it.
Since I only saw the trailer, you want me to try to take
it? Yeah, sure.
So, there's a family. Excuse me. There's a family that one night, their house gets broken into, they get tied up, and they found out that their assailants are just doppelgangers of themselves. Same face, same everything, and then it's a creepy thing. It's like, okay, why do I have a twin clone thing? Like, everybody in the family, the kids, and the two parents and stuff like that.
And does it all take place in that house?
No, it's pretty open.
Okay.
But, like, I gotta say, like, the beginning parts of the movie and some scenes in the movie, it did have a really old anime horror or, like, just old... style movies vibe. The soundtrack was purely reminded me of Ghost in the Shell. And that was the only part that was like
the movie Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah, the original movie,
the original
anime movie.
How in a horror movie?
Well, the tone, I think,
the tone means. the soundtrack, like, okay. the soundtrack that played in the beginning, it matched the opening song that played in this movie.
I see a lot of people on Twitter joking about the
I love
the
that opening song.
Yeah. Like, people are doing, like, Fortnite dances and, like, actual intense dances to this creepy...
this creepy song. Yeah. And I really liked the movie. It was really good by just the tone of it and the whole scenes and everything. But it did have a few scenes that didn't line up in my head that I'm going to have to look into a bit more. But I do recommend watching it, especially if you like Get Out. Okay. This is going to be a movie you'll enjoy. My theater was also really hilarious. They're like, they would laugh and they'd be like, and then they start laughing and they'd be like, it was so funny.
it makes horror movies a lot more bearable when the audience is like, yeah, there with you.
How many jump scares were there?
Not many.
Okay.
There weren't too many jump scares, but like, there were some scenes where, like, man, it got creepy so quick and then it would just be funny. Like, it was perfect.
Honestly, would you recommend this movie?
Definitely. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I would.
What would you give it a random score?
A random score?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get Out for me would be probably a high 8. This one would probably be a low 8, a high 7, probably.
Okay. So a high 8 and a low 8. All right, got it. Moving on.
Next.
Speaking of things that you might like.
Yeah, things that I love.
I want to take this next topic because there is a lot... I literally only found out about this like 30 minutes before we started.
Yeah, so we literally before we started recording this, we checked out the article and it just came out. So Leonardo DiCaprio is apparently fronting an Akira live action remake.
He's a producer.
He's a producer and his name's all over it. And it is going to start shooting very soon, apparently. And the director is Taika Waititi. Yeah. If you guys don't know who that is, he's the director of Thor Ragnarok.
Thor Ragnarok, What We Do in the Shadows, Hunt for the Wilder Beast. Oh, a lot of comedies.
Yeah. And not much else is revealed about it other than that Leonardo DiCaprio and one of his partners is going to be the producers and Taika Waititi is directing it. But the whole thought of Akira being a live-action movie very interests me, but also scares me because Akira...
a Netflix live-action movie.
It doesn't say anything about Netflix.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like a full theatrical release and everything.
But it kind of scares me because Akira...
is beloved. It
brought animation... to a whole new level, right? And it fits the animation world and it fits the animation medium perfectly.
It brought Japan to Western society.
Translating that to live action Like, while Blade Runner is a really good sci-fi movie and they can do sci-fi live action perfectly, Akira still kind of scares me because of how exaggerated the scenes in sci-fi was in that, if you remember it, right?
Yeah, you know what? Would you rather have a direct adaptation or them try to do their own thing?
It would be interesting for them to do a different, like...
Take on it?
Not a different take on it, but different characters or something that happens in the background. Some of the side characters.
Something that goes alongside the main story, but is not part of it.
Yes. But doing the main story, and especially some of the scenes in the latter end of this the movie, it's going to be very difficult to make in live action.
I want it to be interesting enough that mainstream audiences that would not normally watch the original Akira would be like, I'll give it a shot. Like, I don't care if it's a direct adaptation or if it's like some very loosely inspired thing.
Well, CG's got to be as good as Alita, if not better.
It's got to be good enough to, well, Alita did not really sell or did not really get a lot of seats sold here. So better than Alita.
I'm talking about CG.
But yeah, I would only really just want people to look at the original Akira afterwards, and then I'll be happy no matter what they put out.
Either way, this is definitely going to be a first day watch for me because I'm a massive fan of Akira.
For sure.
Huge fan of Akira. And this does interest because there is some big names, Leonardo DiCaprio being one and Taika Waititi. So there are some big names helming it, which is pretty cool. But not much news else is given on it, so we don't really know. They didn't even mention... Is Katsuhiro Otomo, is he... I don't even know. I don't think he's part of this.
So, at least as a supervisor role, I'd hope he's like a supervisor or consultant or something like that.
They say all the article says is that the story is by, like, he's the original author of the series, but it doesn't say that he's going to be part of it. Hmm. So we'll see.
I guess not, because if he was, then that would be a big selling point.
Especially for reliable old fans.
Yeah, like it's a big selling point for our next topic, for example.
Speaking of live action animes. So Bebop, we all know, is coming to Netflix, right?
Yeah. Whether
Netflix
you like it or not.
Yeah, there's a live-action Bebop. And they did release the cast. Like, I think 4 members of the cast did get revealed today. Mm-hmm. And the main character, Spike, is going to be played by Harold.
John Cho.
Harold and Kumar.
Yeah. Yeah.
But John Cho, yeah.
Sulu.
Sulu from Star Trek, Harold from...
He can do serious, Harold and Kumar. Can do comedy.
Yeah.
And Spike is a bit of both.
Yeah, hopefully he can do some cheat...
And he's Asian.
It's pretty funny. Yes. It's pretty funny though. But Spike is Spike Asian though? Is Spike Japanese? We don't know.
No, but he's based on an Asian actor, like the same actor who was the inspiration for Aokiji in One Piece.
Nah.
He like technically kind of, but yeah, whatever.
But there's
nothing wrong with. It's not like he was white.
Lot of people were just. I remember I was reading online. A lot of people were like, "It should be Keanu Reeves." But I don't really mind. John Cho. I do like him as Sulu. He was good as Sulu in Star Trek.
I think people only really came around on Keanu Reeves because of John Wick. Because before that, it was like, oh, this is going to be the worst. Keanu Reeves is Spike.
But yeah, I'm trying to go through.
I wonder how they're going to do his hair. If they were going to give him the suit.
They have to give him the suit. I hope they don't try to emulate the hair. Because have you seen like the live action like Ace Attorney movie and stuff like that? That looked bad.
So the other cast members besides John Cho is going to be Mustafa Shakir, Daniela Pineda, and Alex Hassall.
So playing Jet.
Mustafa Shakir is going to be playing Jet, and Shakir is most likely going to be playing...
Confirmed to be Faye.
Faye yeah. And who's the other guy?
Vicious,
okay.
So we don't have anybody on Ed. Ed is still apparently being cat. Like, they're still looking for somebody to play Ed. So
that's going to be interesting casting. I want to see who's going to play Ed.
So it's still really early in the thing.
The most important thing is, who is going to play the corgi?
No.
A corgi?
The Ein. Actually, no. The most important thing is, and everybody's asking the same question, the most important person, who's doing the music?
Exactly.
Is Yoko
coming back? Coming back?
How much of this is going to be CG? Because it involves a lot of flying.
They can do quite a bit without it. Without the flying, it's gonna be a 10 episode series on Netflix. That much we know.
But we need to have the Bebop. Need to have the ship.
I feel like just because of the weight of Bebop, the name Bebop is enough to give Netflix a pretty big budget just for this compared to their other Netflix originals. So I don't think we're gonna have too much to worry about. But how is CG usually in Netflix original shows?
Stranger Things has pretty good CG, but it's still on the par of being a mid-budget Hollywood movie in terms. Okay. Like, I remember saying this, the CG was comparable to Shazam, mm-hmm. right?
Where if you look at Love, Death, and Robots.
That was different because that was entirely CG.
Some of those CGs were amazing.
Yeah, they're amazing. But those aren't live-action CG, which makes it look amazing. If it's a live-action CG, it's a different story. Because you're trying to make it look live, real life, right? But yeah, we'll see how it turns out. We don't know when this is coming out, right? I don't even think it says.
Well, at least we know that it's moving forward, right? Yeah. We have a casting.
Yeah, we know it's moving forward, at least. It's getting out of that hell that Cowboy Bebop live action has been for the past decade. And we know Watson always going to be serving as a consultant. So.
Which is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Considering he's just on board in the project in some capacity or another, I'm happy with.
But then again... the Ghost in the Shell creator was also a consultant, somewhat. Yeah.
So that's what gives me.
I feel like a Netflix original show would have more liberty to go stick with the original and have mm-hmm. less Hollywoodized bastards.
Well, they should know that you can't mess with Cowboy Bebop. You can't turn it into the Death Note.
But that's what gives me sort of a kind of finicky feeling because I remember the Avatar live action was also revealed alongside basically by the Cowboy Bebop live action. But the mm-hmm. way they announced the original creators being involved was different. So the creators of Avatar are going to be executive producers and showrunners for Avatar. Well, this one is a consultant. So the way they worded it is different.
Yeah.
So consultant has a lot less weight than a showrunner. An
executive consultant is basically he's there to answer questions on. He's like, hey, we need advice.
Yeah. So that bit worries me, but it's Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah, and Cowboy Bebop's great. Like it's the best show. Ever. So if Netflix messes this up, Netflix is done.
We're not gonna not watch Cowboy Bebop.
Exactly. Whether it's good or bad, well I hope not, it better not be bad. I'll be so mad.
Well, speaking of
we'll love Cowboy Bebop no matter what, but it better not be bad.
Yep.
Speaking of Avatar.
That was a terrible segue.
Well we were speaking of Avatar before.
I guess.
What do you mean? So there's been a news that came out, or like Aaron Haas is the executive producer of Avatar, basically went on a Twitter rant on April Fool's Day.
Well, I wouldn't say rant. He was kind of just a Twitter post. Yeah, he was going. There's a Twitter thread where he's producer or lead writer?
He was I think he was executive producer and lead writer or something. Okay, like that. I'll check.
But, so basically he went on April it was on April Fools, but it's not an April Fools joke, he insists. Basically saying that Avatar The Last Airbender on Nickelodeon was supposed to have a season 4. And it was supposed to be focused on Azula. Azula's getting even further bottoming out. Like she didn't hit rock bottom yet, and it's her further fall from grace and her redemption. And it was something that they had all planned, but unfortunately they had cut because Brian and Mike, the showrunners, they wanted to focus on the M. Night Shyamalan movie that was coming out. So basically the Last Airbender movie killed season 4 of Avatar.
That kind of does bring light to some possibilities, because I remember in the ending of the original series of Avatar, Zuko did walk into the prison cell with his father and asked him straight up.
But yeah,
whatever. It's like a 10-year-old series.
But yeah,
you need to go watch it.
He asked them, "Where is my mother?"
Yeah,
and then it ended there, and there was no mention of that ever again after that.
And also, there was a sequel book about finding the mother, and also what's up with Azula? What happened to Azula?
Azula was part of that, played a major part of that too, which was called The Search. If you guys haven't read it, I highly recommend it. It was great. But yeah, that would have been basically season 4 of Avatar if, according to Aaron Haas's, which makes me kind of sad because The Search was great. It was really well written and I would have loved to see it as an animated series, but
yeah,
I guess that killed that. But the comic book was still good. They still made the story public at least.
Yeah. And, Aaron did say, like, to be clear, M. Night did want us to do a fourth season. It was Mike and Brian who was like, no, let's focus on the live action movie. So, you know what?
It's kind of like, how much of a big role did the main creators play in the movie? I thought it was pretty small.
I have no idea, but Honestly, if they had...
Honestly, if they had a big role, then what the hell?
Yeah.
Yeah. But in addition, they're also the showrunners for the upcoming live-action adaptation. Mm-hmm. So maybe they just are really, really protective of their brand. So if they did have a really big role...
Yeah, they're really protected of their brand and let that movie tank.
Mm-hmm.
Well... So... if they had a big part maybe of that movie, then this live-action version that they're working on, that's a scary thought.
Well, it could also be like by focus on the M. Night movie, they just didn't want to draw attention away from the M. Night movie, or they wanted to just like whatever even limited capacity that they did help that movie, they wanted to be on board with that.
But that does kind of bum me out a bit, but the live-action series is coming out, so there's a possibility the story is going to play out.
Do we have any idea on when, what capacity live-action has gone, how far it's
gone? I don't think there's been much news that came out recently regarding the series.
Yeah, I didn't hear a single thing about it. I actually completely forgot about it until like you mentioned it right before the
And this is not an April Fool's joke.
No.
Yeah.
He straight up said, "Oh, I didn't even realize this was April 1st. I probably picked a bad date to vent my feelings."
So after live action, there's going to be a live action series coming to Netflix. Mm-hmm. We don't know when, but we are excited for it, obviously, because Avatar is one of my favorite cartoon series of all time and one of my favorite animes.
We do have a little bit of breaking news. It's not that big. It's just a little minor thing, but Super Mario
breaking news. By the way, by the time this podcast comes out, it's not breaking news.
Well, it's breaking news for us because it literally dropped like 2 seconds ago. Super Mario Odyssey and Legend of Zelda are getting Labo VR support.
Yay.
I thought it was gonna be bigger than that.
It looks like Mario Odyssey is just gonna get some exclusive mini games for the VR missions, but Breath of the Wild, you can play the whole game just in VR instead of just like a regular camera.
It's not even first person though.
Yeah, I mean, you can move the camera around without your right stick, I guess.
Okay.
another breaking news. This season of anime just ended. We will be coming out with a podcast later on, going in depth about the last season.
Yeah, because we watched pretty much everything worth watching.
And we'll look into the coming season. But since we're on the anime topic, anything you guys want to say in particular about this past season?
It was a pretty good season. It was pretty
damn good season. Solid season, yeah.
Promised Neverland, I think, for me was the show. This past season.
I'd say Run with the Wind for me. Though that was a continuation.
That was a continuation.
From the prior season.
But Run with the Wind was fantastic. Run with the Wind, Promised Neverland, those are some of the top two shows for me.
Oh, man, the OST and Promised Neverland.
That was
so good.
Yeah,
Boogie Pop and Promised Neverland have my favorite OSTs of the season.
Promised Neverland has a little bit of complaints I have about it, but the OST is probably one of my favorite of recent memory.
Oopsie daisy.
Well, I didn't want to swear.
Okay, so what are some of your complaints?
Well, we can get into that in our exclusive, but yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, so I think that's going to cover everything we wanted to talk about. I was busy playing with the rubber band there. So I guess that's it. And if you guys enjoyed it, please subscribe and please listen to our last few episodes if you guys want to. If this is your first time listening to us, please try to follow us on our Instagram and Twitter.
You could reach us at dayoneupdatecast@gmail.com to let us know how we're doing. That is dayoneupdatecast@gmail.com. Or you could hit us up on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Day One Updates.
For Instagram and Twitter. So that's going to be it. And hope you guys enjoyed. And we'll talk to you guys next time. Peace.